Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today marks the 22nd day of the UAW's nationwide strike against General Motors, amid word from the bargaining table that things have taken a turn for the worse. 46,000 workers are on strike, walking picket lines, and making do with $250 a week in strike pay. Among them, Sean Crawford. He works at GM's Flint Truck Assembly Plant. We first spoke with Sean on September 27th in the second week of the strike. He is back here with us now. Sean, what has it been like on the picket line since you last talked to us on Stateside?
Well, you know, living on $250 a week doesn't afford us a fancy lifestyle, but I tell you what, we make do because it's all about the cause. You know, we're fighting for equality for our union brothers and sisters, and that's the important thing, and that's what we're keeping in mind as we go on forward, even though it's a struggle.
Did you think this strike would be going into its fourth week? Do you think it would last this long?
You know, it really doesn't surprise me. I mean, GM has, sucked up the money from the bailout, sucked up the money from all the concessions we've made all these years, and now they want to keep them. And they've been successful basically at our expense. And they don't want to give back, even though they've been making billions, and it's really a shame. So I'm not surprised.
Has the energy on the line changed through these weeks, Sean?
Well, I think as the weather turns cold, you know, people don't like being outside quite as much. But other than that, I think people are holding strong. I think everybody has in the forefront of their mind, they want justice for the temporary workers, the third-party workers who are in there making half the wage. We just want justice. I mean, there's nothing like disunity within a union to bust down solidarity. So we want to make sure that we bring everyone up to the same pay rate. You know, I don't think any tier one workers are looking for a raise. We just want equality.
I have to ask you about the federal corruption probe into UAW leadership. It's made a lot of headlines. Region 5 Director Vance Pearson has been charged with, among other things, embezzling money. He has just been put on leave. President Gary Jones, past President Dennis Williams are facing some tough scrutiny. How are you processing all of this?
I think it's a disgusting shame, and they really do a disservice to the memory of the people who fought and died for this union to make it what it is. And anyone who's out there who is corrupt, you know, they need to be found out. They need to be taken out by the root. So anybody who's, you know, in the international regional staff and knows of corruption, if you see something, say something, because we need to make this a better, stronger organization. And even furthermore, we need to have one member, one vote so we can actually hold our elected leadership accountable. But that'll be something for after the contract.
Do you still have trust in the people who are representing you at that bargaining table?
You know, it's a complicated question. To an extent, I do, and to an extent, I don't. I know there are still some good people within the UAW, and I've known some of them personally, and I think they're great folks. But there are some people who've decided they want to try to live a corporate lifestyle at our expense, and that's not what the labor movement is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about equality for everybody. So those folks out there who are trying to live high in the hog at our expense, no, I don't trust them at all.
Sean, how long do you think you can hold out and your family before you're forced to reconsider your options?
I can hold out as long as it takes. You know, I grew up in Flint. I've been poor most of my life, and I can do it again if that's what it takes to get justice from myself and my coworkers.
I know you're headed to Oshawa, Ontario to talk with workers at that plant, which is slated to be closed at the end of the year. What's your message to them?
Solidarity. Looking around, when you go up and down the highway in Ontario driving to Oshawa, you see all these companies with international flags, you know, flags of 5, 6, 7 countries flying strong, high and proud. But yet somehow we have a nationalistic philosophy in the labor movement. And I think that's backwards. I think we need to change the way we look at things and realize the only way to fight a global company is through global unionism. And I want to go there to show support and solidarity for my brothers and sisters in Oshawa, just like they've shown support for us when they came down for the Detroit protest when DHAM was announced to be closed last year.
Sean Crawford, who is on strike right now, working at General Motors Flint Truck Assembly Plant. Sean, we want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
The strike is being felt beyond the 55 GM facilities that are spread out over 19 states. Today's Detroit News reports suppliers are laying off more workers, and that's resulted in nearly 11,000 unemployment claims in Michigan, Texas, Ohio, and Tennessee. Officials believing those claims are due to supplier layoffs. We turn now to Michigan State University economist Charles Ballard. So, Charlie, we've got these GM employees who have missed two paychecks. We're seeing more layoffs from suppliers. This strike is now in its fourth week. And weren't the wheels kind of wobbly before all of this strike?
Yes, the wheels of the Michigan economy were not turning very fast before the strike. When we came out of the Great Recession, we added about 75,000 jobs a year. Then it slowed down in 2017 and 2018 to about 43,000. And this year, we're essentially flat. We've gained 3,500 jobs for the entire year from January to August, which is, that's basically rounding error. That's, you know, that's not statistically different from zero. So our economy had already slowed down, at least in terms of employment. And you put on top of that the GM strike, both the direct effects of the strike and then the indirect effects. And I think it's a formula for not a very pretty picture for Michigan's economy right now.
And just a historic reminder, and we've talked about it, you and I, a lot on this program, Michigan was that proverbial canary in the coal mine for the Great Recession. Michigan hit harder, hit earlier than other states. What kind of impact do you think Michigan should brace for because of this strike? I mean, dare we use that R word, recession?
Well, you know, there have been, even before the strike, there are many economists looking at the trade war with China, looking at the slowdown of the European economy, looking at some things in the bond markets, had already been saying that there was a decent chance of a recession nationwide in the next year or so. But Michigan's economy appears to have been growing more slowly than the rest of the country, and thus, you know, are we in a recession now already? I don't know. I don't think it's, we have enough information to say that. But certainly, this could push the Michigan economy, if not into a recession, certainly into a pretty flat place. You know, that's not good news.
No, in fact, speaking of not good news, remind us again, walk us through the kind of the ripple effects of an economic downturn in Michigan. What have we seen in the past?
Well, one of the issues that we face in Michigan is, even though the auto sector is a lot smaller part of our economy than it once was, back in the 60s, one-fourth of our economy was in one sector, motor vehicles and parts, and a lot of other things kind of orbited around that. Now it's 8%, but 8% is still a lot. And so what happens when you get all of that, all of those factories shut down? First of all, the workers are on strike pay. They're not going to be able to make discretionary spending. They you know, they're going to just focus on trying to make rent and pay the groceries, because that's about their, all there's room for. You've got the suppliers, workers laid off. So what that does is it drains purchasing power out of the economy. And that means there's going to be less money spent at various retailers. And if the retailer has less coming in, they may have to lay somebody off. That's kind of the multiplier effect or the ripple effect that can happen when things start to go go downward. I think we've already seen a little bit of that. The longer this goes on, the more it's likely to generate.
And we just remember the home sale prices dropping and bankruptcies going up. I mean, there were some very, very hard years in our state.
2009 was like the tsunami, just the worst year in a very, very long time. Here's an astonishing fact that in 1 month, December 08 to January 09, Michigan lost 100,000 jobs.
Yeah,
which is stunning.
Stunning.
Fortunately, we're not there. You know, that was the worst downturn in the lifetime of almost everybody who's listening, because unless they can remember 1933, they haven't seen worse than the Great Recession of 07, 08, and 09. But still, we're not close to that. But it does tell you the kind of things that can happen if a downturn kind of spirals out of control. And what I really hope is that if we do have a downturn, that it's a mild one, like the one of 2001, and not a devastating one like the one of a decade ago.
You know, Charlie, there was so much talk about making Michigan less reliant on the auto industry after the Great Recession. In fact, the film industry incentives in the Granholm era were one such effort. How successful was that, really?
Well, you know, there's two ways to diversify your economy. One is to add new things, and we really have added, you know, we've got biotech going on. We've got a lot of health sciences and health care going on. But we've lost enough in the manufacturing that overall our economy in Michigan has not done as well as the rest of the country going back to the 70s. We've lost some ground. Now, we've stabilized in the last 9 years and held our own relative to the rest of the economy. But it is still true that we are much more heavily dependent on autos than any other state. Nationally, the auto sector is less than 1% of the U.S. economy. Here in Michigan, it's 8% of ours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're just much more exposed. And that also, remember, autos are durable goods, and that is a formula for bigger ups and downs, because you can't put off buying groceries, but you can put off buying a new car.
Michigan State University economist Charles Ballard, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.